I'm Joe Lee with your Play-by-Play Network Sportsman. With John Sterling now retired as the radio play-by-play voice of the New York Yankees, part of my summer, part of my baseball season, and a part of my childhood are now gone with him. And yes, it is having his voice during the games, but for me, it's also having his voice year-round, watching Yankeeography and Yankee Classics. And of course, the home run calls. For me, like many, when the Yankees acquire a new player, you want to see what number they get, and then the second thing is you want to know what John Sterling is going to say when the ball carries over the wall for his first home run. Now, for the record, my top three home run calls from Sterling of all time are as follows. Georgie juiced one for Jorge Posada. It's an A-bomb for A-Rod for Alex Rodriguez. And it's Robbie Cano, don't you know, for one of my favorite Yankees of all time, Robinson Cano. Also, I want to start a petition to have, right before Frank Sinatra's New York, New York plays, after the final out of every Yankee win, can we have John Sterling's voice boom over the loudspeakers into the Bronx night with his classic?
Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
That's the call, with joyous Yankee fans cheering, that should now be queued up right before Frankie sends 50,000 Yankee fans home happy. So, Mr. Sterling, I thank you for stepping up to the microphone every single day and for helping me fall in love with the best game ever. For the Play-by-Play Network, I'm Joe Leo.
It's the Grind Hours Podcast, and it's coming in your ear, telling you all of the news that you need to hear. Baseball talking, football talk, and NBA as well. Joe has got the highlights, and it's just like show and tell. Joe and all his radio friends make sure the updates never end. Breaking news and analysis, tennis shoes. Hockey sticks, Grind Hours Podcast, and it's streaming on your phone. Sports talk's never been so good, so listen in your home. Hey.
Hello and welcome to the Grind Hours Podcast for Friday, April 26th, 2024. Recording this just after 2 p.m. Eastern Time on Long Island. And yeah, it's been about 2 weeks, as you heard with the sports update at the beginning of the pod. I just had to get that off my chest and give a little bit of a tribute to John Sterling to start all of this. But where we are truly going to start is with the NFL draft last night. And I will start with my team, the New York Jets. I loved what the Jets did last night, getting Olu Fashanu from Penn State, the left tackle from Penn State, and doing it in a way where they get extra picks. I mean, I don't understand why Minnesota needed to trade up with the Jets to get J.J. McCarthy. It wasn't like J.J. McCarthy was anywhere on the Jets board. Maybe the Vikings heard rumors that the Broncos or the Raiders or somebody else was looking to trade up with the Jets to get McCarthy, and they had to pull the string and get the guy that they wanted. I don't know, but I'm happy that the Jets moved back one pick. They traded the sixth round pick that they got from the Denver Broncos for in the Zach Wilson trade to move back a spot, get an extra fourth, get an extra fifth, which just gives them extra maneuverability. Personally, I think they will use one of those two picks to probably move into the third round and get somebody else. But I don't want to give day one grades of the NFL draft and say the Jets nailed this pick. He's going to be a franchise left tackle. I don't know that. Nobody knows that. But what I do know is they addressed the need that I thought that they needed the most. It was the top of the list in terms of needs, his offensive line. And I continue to think that. I hope that with the remaining picks that they have a third, two fourths, two fifths, a sixth, and two sevenths. I hope three of those picks are offensive linemen in some shape or form, because you just can't have enough depth. Excuse me. You can't have enough depth. And I hope that with the people that we have in the building, from Tyron Smith to the O-line coaches to even Morgan Moses, that they can coach these guys up, and the rookie offensive lineman can now see what it looks like on a daily basis to prepare for an NFL game and an NFL season. So I absolutely love what the Jets did. I think I'm going to have majority of the night off in terms of the Jets, because they don't have a second round pick. They do have a third, but, you know, again, hopefully they continue to address the needs and get better, because it's an off season that you need to do or die. There is no tomorrow for Joe Douglas. So even though this is a pick that will probably live on past Joe Douglas's time, I hope not, because I hope they win, but you know, it is a pick that could potentially live on past Joe Douglas's time here in New York. He did the right thing. He did the right thing, and I commend him for that. In terms of the rest of the draft, look, I'm not the biggest draft guy. I despise the lead up to the draft. Despise it with everything in my body. The 5 month lead up to the draft. But what I do enjoy is the kind of like first hour and a half, that first 10 picks or so. And the biggest surprise to me, as to everybody, is the selection of Michael Penix with the Atlanta Falcons after they just gave $180 million to Kirk Cousins. And you'll hear some people say today, well, the best time to get a quarterback is when you don't need one. Look at the Green Bay Packers. Not at eight. Not in a top 10 pick. You know what would be really good for Michael Penix right now? $100 million guarantee that they're currently paying Kirk Cousins. And I understand Kirk Cousins is coming off an Achilles. He's in his mid-30s. Michael Penix already had two Achilles surgeries. And I like Michael Penix. I hope he succeeds in Atlanta. But I didn't see him as a day one quarterback. I thought he was definitely going to be a day two quarterback. Same with Bo Nix, with that matter, with the Broncos. But it's interesting. They took a swing. They got their guy, and apparently he blew everybody's socks off in Atlanta, and they couldn't just pass up that opportunity. So hope it works out for them. It's going to be the biggest head-scratching move maybe of the draft, maybe period of the draft. And with the Giants at six, I was fully in the camp that they were going to take a quarterback. And I know I've said in this podcast in the past that I flipped my position completely. I said they shouldn't take a quarterback. They should probably trade down and get as much draft assets as humanly possible, because they have a lot more holes than just the quarterback position. They didn't trade down, but they got their first big-time receiver since Odell left. And good on them. They get a guy for Daniel Jones. They lose their number one weapon on offense in Saquon Barkley to the Eagles. They go out and get Malik Nabers and get a true number one pass catcher for Daniel Jones in a season where, just like a couple of years ago when they made the playoffs, when he was fighting for a contract, he's essentially fighting for another contract with the way that his current deal is set up. So we'll see if that brings out the best in Daniel Jones. Maybe Daniel Jones is a guy that needs that added pressure of contract security. And he just should be a guy that should always sign one-year deals throughout his career, because that's how he plays the best. He's got some O-line help this offseason. He now has a number one receiver. He's got a retooled offense that should be good enough for him to compete in this division. And we'll see. We'll see where it goes. I was, again, completely shocked that the Giants went receiver. I thought Shane and Dable would have wanted their guy. Apparently their guy is Daniel Jones. Well, this is the bed you've now fully slept in. It's one you inherited. It's one that we've heard that you kind of regret sleeping in, but you've now tucked yourself in again. So we'll see. I am not the biggest Daniel Jones supporter. I do think he's gotten a raw deal up until this point with the Giants. Well, that's no longer. He's got everything now. Not everything, but he's got enough now for the Giants to say, hey, we did all we could. We gassed the car up. We bought the car for you. Now you got to drive it. But again, I don't think he's that type of guy. He's getting paid like one, but I don't know if he's that type of guy to be able to be a franchise quarterback. All right. After the break, we will switch topics entirely, go to the NBA. And we got to talk about what happened in the next game last night. We got to talk about that. That should lead the podcast if the draft wasn't last night. So we'll get to that right after this.
SeatGeek is the number one ticket app for buying and selling tickets. Sports fans, music fans, comedy fans, theater fans, fans of tickets. Use my code GRINDHOUR to get into the building to get yourself a seat. Again, that's code GRINDHOUR at checkout for $20 off your first purchase at SeatGeek.com or the SeatGeek app. One more time, code GRINDHOUR. That's GRINDHOUR at checkout.
All right, coming back here, switching to the NBA playoffs and getting to Knicks game 3 in Philadelphia last night. How Joel Embiid was not suspended, how he wasn't removed from the game last night is beyond me. And if you didn't see it, just Google Embiid knee grab, because he grabbed Mitchell Robinson's knee as he was going up for a layup, and it looked like he wanted to suplex Mitchell Robinson. That's what it looked like. It was a complete non-basketball move. It is a dirty play in an NBA game. It's a dirty play at the Y. It's a dirty play if you're 10 years old playing on the playground. There is no room for that in this game, especially a playoff game. I get the intensity. I get the building was going nuts last night. But you can't do that. You can't do that. And I've not been a Joel Embiid supporter outside of his rookie year. And last night did enough for me to just be out on him completely. I don't like watching him offensively anyway. I don't understand how he gets through. I do understand how he doesn't get through an 82 game season and why he's always hurt this time of year. He's on the floor constantly. He is, for me, the player on the offensive end that I least like watching in the NBA. His offensive game just angers me because he looks like a baby deer. And I get it. He scored 50 points last night, but he also shot more free throws than the entire Knicks team. He also had 3 flagrant fouls last night. The one on Mitchell Robinson, which was supposedly a flagrant 2, was a flagrant 1. He need Isaiah Hartenstein in the junk, and he also need Mitchell Robinson in the junk on the play that Robinson got hurt. And now he left last night in a walking boot from the arena. You're telling me that the knee grab didn't have a little bit, 5% to do with Robinson eventually injuring himself and leaving the game? It's going to be very interesting to see how the NBA governs this and governs Embiid, because there was a clear message to the Knicks fans, to Embiid, and to the Philadelphia 76ers. We are going to govern and officiate Joel Embiid a certain way. And if it's any other player outside of maybe Durant, LeBron, and Anthony Edwards in this playoff, maybe Tatum, they're gone from the game. Gone from the game. And for me, again on Embiid, and I'll get to the Knicks in a second, but for me with Embiid, he is probably as weak a mental player in terms of a superstar that I've maybe ever seen. Physically, yes, he will take the hits and he'll go to the free throw line and he'll sink the free throws. But it's the mental side of the game. He was completely checked out of the game 6 minutes into the first quarter after he, you know, almost quasi-suplexed Mitchell Robinson, grabbed at his knee. He was completely checked out of that game. And every single time down the floor, he was complaining to the officials, running back on defense, how he got fouled on the previous possession. I don't know how, as a fan base or as an organization, you can win with a player like that. You can lock this in stone, save it, and come back to it later. I've said it. I think the Knicks are winning the series in six. I now think, based on the way that game was officiated last night, this series is going to go seven, and I have Knicks in seven. But I don't think Embiid's going to win a title in his career. I don't. I just think, again, based off of how mentally weak he is, or that he seems to be in playoff games, and lets the officials dictate how he plays. And again, I understand he scored 50 points. But, I don't want to say it was a quiet 50, but it was at least a quiet 25. He had 19 from the free throw line. I couldn't be more out on Embiid. Seriously. He is a dirty player. He is a guy who complains constantly. He's never healthy. And he doesn't really seem like a joy to coach either, or to play with, for that matter. So that's that with Embiid. But for the Knicks, Jalen Brunson finally showed up last night, which is, if you're a Knicks fan, exactly what you want. I get they lost, but at least he's back and he's found something. I don't think he's going to average 30 points for the remainder of the series, but he found something in that Philly defense that is workable. You just need somebody else. And that's been the story of this entire playoffs. From game one and game two, you got that. Who's that going to be in Philly for you to snag the game on Sunday and then return to the Garden to really finish this series off? Because again, Philly, I think, as a team, is checked out. They follow the pulse of their leader, which is Embiid, best player. I don't think the Knicks are all that concerned. I think the Knicks are pissed how the game was officiated. I think they are very upset at Joel Embiid. I think there will be some choice words between the Knicks and Embiid for the remainder of the series. I think there will be some tester calls on Embiid early in game four to see how are we going to adjust the officiating from game to game, because that's seemingly been the story this entire series. And it's who's going to step up besides Jalen Brunson to steal a game on the road, really make this a series, because all home teams have won so far. And for my money, it's got to be Ananobi at this point. I said at the beginning that it's Josh, you know, if you follow ESPN New York Tonight or the Dan Grosso Show or me on Twitter, I've said this has to be Josh Hart's series. Well, right now they need Ananobi to be the guy that they traded for. We'll see. And last thing, one thing that I think everyone should buy in if they haven't already. If you are late to this party, well, hop on the bandwagon because it's going a million miles an hour. It's the Miami Heat. One thing for sure you can buy in to this playoffs is Miami is for real yet again. I don't know how they do it. They sleepwalk through the entire regular season, but they're like the Undertaker. They're like the villain in a horror movie that you need to make sure is dead. They always come back. The lights go out, they flash back on, and boom, they're the Miami Heat all over again. Without this guy, without that guy, as long as Spoelstra's there, and as long as the Boston Celtics want to lose home playoff games, what is this, 4 or 5 in a row? It might be even 6 in a row that they've lost at the Boston Garden. Miami is going to win this series. Miami is going to upset the Celtics in round one. I hate to say that to Celtic fans in my life, but that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. They're not afraid of the Celtics. Spoelstra is a better coach than Mazzulla. Right now, Tatum hasn't stepped up. Jaylen Brown is Jaylen Brown in the playoffs. Porzingis is Porzingis in the playoffs. Make me change my mind, but I have Miami going the rest of the way. I have Miami in 6. Because they basically have... There is no home court advantage because Miami doesn't really have a home court. Fight me, Miami fans. You don't show up. You're as fair weather can get. Miss me with the Heat culture. Also, I'll get on my soapbox for just one more minute. If they wear those damn Heat culture jerseys during this playoffs at all, I'm done with Miami. After the break, we will again switch gears, and we got to talk about my Yankees real quick. Back after this.
You know, a lot can happen in 7 minutes, and luckily, that's how long it takes me to tell a story. My name is Aaron Calafato, and I'm the creator of 7-Minute Stories. I'm proud to partner with Evergreen Podcasts, and I'd like to invite you to join me on this journey. I'm going to take you on some crazy roller coaster rides using my unique extemporaneous storytelling style, and together, we're going to try to make sense of the world, all through the art of storytelling, and all in approximately 7 minutes.
Sports betting has rapidly risen in popularity, and I want to connect you with an opportunity to get started or even get ahead. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to maximize your profits, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit my page, signupexpert.com/grind, you'll be able to get connected to all the sportsbooks in your area, along with a review of each platform and its unique benefits. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and when you register using my link, you will automatically receive all the top offers at each one. When you use multiple sportsbooks, you ensure that you always have the best access to all the available odds, which is key to successful sports betting. If you want to take advantage of all these benefits and support the podcast, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/grind. Again, that's signupexpert.com/grind. All right, coming back here, finishing up the podcast, got to touch a little bit about baseball with the Yankees here. I'm also, side note, I'm going to the Mets game tonight. So that should, first in-person game of the year should be a ton of fun. Yankees, Mets Cardinals. J.D. Martinez's Mets debut, looking forward to that. But with the Yankees, the number one thing I can say, they're a first-place team. They did lose last night to the Oakland A's. They are in danger of losing a 4-game set. Scratch that. They split a 4-game set with the Oakland A's. Not the greatest. They now go to Milwaukee to play the Brewers. But the biggest thing for me so far in the season is Juan Soto's impact. not only on the Yankees clubhouse, but on the fans and how opposing teams view this lineup. I know right now Judge is going through it. He's not, I don't want to say he's not healthy. He's not himself. And maybe it has to do with the time he took off in spring training to get up at bats, but Soto completely changes this team. They will go as far as Judge and Soto. We know that. But I've said it before, I love this guy. I want him to stay. I want him to do whatever they can for him to stay in right field for as long as humanly possible. Soto is probably going to be the best player on the team as long as he's on the team. And that's with Judge. And I love Judge, and he's the captain, but this, if they get it right, will be kind of like the Miami Heat with the Heatles, LeBron, Bosh, Wade, where it's Judge's team, but Judge won't be the best player on the team. It'll be Soto. So I really hope Judge gets it going, and that 2-3 Bash Brothers is going to be fun to watch. But so far, we haven't needed it. And so far, we haven't needed Gerrit Cole. And that's the next thing on my list is the pitching. Pitching scares me. It really does, because they don't have a horse anymore. I like Nestor Cortez. He is probably going to give you 7 once every 4 or 5 starts. He is a 5-6 inning pitcher max. Stroman, I love him. Same thing. Clark Schmidt, he can't face the lineup the third time around the order. Luis Gil, can we get him through 5? Rodon, he's been good, but I'm going to need to see 2 more months of this before I really start to buy in and say, okay, you're now the horse of this rotation. You're the ace. And you can't do that because you're going to burn out this bullpen. And the bullpen, I don't trust anyway. And there's nobody on my in my circle of trust. Nobody yet. Is this lineup going to be enough to sustain the season and get this team to ultimately where they want to go? Because, I mean, if you're not paying attention to the sport as a whole right now, pitchers are just falling every single day. Every day somebody gets hurt. So is there going to be enough arms at the trade deadline that are healthy that can help this team get to where they want to go? And you get an arm at the deadline and you get Cole back. And what's Cole going to be? We have no idea what Cole's going to be yet. We don't even know when he's coming back, if he's coming back this year. So the number one concern has to be pitching. It will always be pitching. This lineup, I'm not concerned yet. It's April 26th. They haven't lost the division because they're currently sitting in first place. So they haven't lost the division in April. I understand they're not hitting, but there's time. I understand Glaber's not hitting, but he's under the pressure of a contract year. Guys handle that differently. Judge, hopefully he's turning it around now. Hopefully it was just a bad month. Stanton, we know what we're getting from him. Verdugo, he's starting to hit again. Wells, he's a young player. Oswaldo Cabrera, he's as hot and cold as they come. He's like Glaber. I'm not worried at all with the lineup, but I am scared to death with the pitching. And finally, it is what the heck is going to go on with DJ LeMahieu. When are we getting him back? What the heck's going on with his foot? How did he all of a sudden turn from one of the most beloved Yankees into one of the biggest contract albatrosses in recent memory? Because that's what he is. He hasn't been healthy since he signed that contract. He hasn't. It's now been 2+ seasons. We're going into this, you know, second full season of him dealing with this foot injury when he probably should have got surgery immediately and dealt with it then instead of just resting it up. And he's still kind of just resting it up. So he's a huge question mark. It's secondary again to the pitching, but what are you getting out of DJ LeMahieu when you get him back? And if Gerrit Cole comes back, I have a feeling he's going to come back before DJ. I have a feeling it's going to be see you in July, DJ. And that stinks because I really, really like LeMahieu. Judge said it in the post game a couple of nights ago. We go as DJ goes, and he's right. He's a table setter. He's a guy who can drive in runs and be a producer and extend the lineup. And I mean, if he does slide into that leadoff hole, you have him on top of the Bash Brothers with Soto and Judge. How you navigating that? It's going to be tough. I'm rooting for him to get healthy, but it seems like he's just going to be one of those guys again. Kind of like Stanton, where you just hope he's healthy and you hope you get something. Which stinks. Because when you signed him to that contract, there wasn't a Yankee fan around that didn't want to give him the boatload. The blank check. And now you're like, can we get a refund? It stinks. It's a bummer. Get healthy soon, DJ. Please, we need you. We need you. All right. On that note, I think that's a good place to end. On this side of the coin, at the fake J Leo on Twitter, jdatasports.blogspot.com, JoeLeo67 on Threads, and of course, this podcast. If you reach this point, please like, subscribe, share this podcast to anybody who you seem fit. If you're new to the show, please download the show. It means more to the show than you know. In terms of the blog, it'll be returning next week. Next Friday, I will have a column up, and I will try to get a column up every single Friday. So you'll have a fresh podcast and a fresh column every Friday. Podcast returning to Tuesday, Friday for now. Potentially a sporadic third episode per week here and there. But again, back on the Tuesday, Friday schedule. Have a great weekend. I hope you're happy. Hope you're healthy. Hope you're enjoying. Spring has sprung, so enjoy the weather. And spend some time with the family. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're happy. Hope you're healthy. And from the sweet words of Semisonic, it's closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Peace.